All right, you may be seated there. Caleb, I'm going to print off something out of the printer, and you'll have to staple them because it's two pages each. I printed out way too, not enough of these this morning. All right, we're going to start in, if you take your Bible and turn to Book of Genesis in chapter number 11. Genesis chapter number 11. Gabriel, could you hand these out, as many as that we have here, please? Genesis chapter 11. And if you just bear with me just one moment, I'm going to push print on this so we can... I didn't put enough copies out. Chapter 11. Print. Amen. There we go. Hopefully he's getting something out of the printer in there. Hope so, anyways. There we go. All right, Genesis chapter 11. All right, we're starting something new. We actually started 2 weeks ago, and then Brother Dale was here last week. But we're going to look at church doctrine. What is the church? I think it's important for us to know what the church is. Amen. Just get an idea of what it is and how we fit into it, how God can use us in it. And the church is what God is, the institution God has instituted for this age. Amen. It's how God works in the world today. And before we get into church doctrine, we're going to cover very quickly this morning Bible dispensations. Now, that's a big word that's, I don't know, maybe it goes over some people's heads, and I don't want it to. You'll understand what I'm saying at the end of the hour this morning. But a lot of wrong interpretation of the scripture has been applied to the church today. I guess I can put it that way. And the church has become something that it's not. And so before we get into church doctrine, what the church is, I think we need to cover some dispensations. Now, 2 weeks ago we started this, so we'll just we'll do some review, and then your notes are filled out up until point number 3, I think, and then we'll move on from there. All right. So if you look at the introduction in your notes there, from the creation of the heavens and earth, God has been working with men. Do you believe that? God loves man. And ultimately, he sent his only begotten son to save man. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. But from the very beginning of time, God has been working with man. There has never been a time in which God has been silent towards mankind. There have been short spurts of time, small parts of time, like you get to 1 Samuel, and the Bible says for some years, a couple generations, God hadn't spoken directly to man. You go to the book of Malachi, and between Malachi and the book of Matthew, there's a space of about 400 years there where God didn't speak in any special revelation to man. But there's never been a time period, if you will, that God has not been working with man. God's always had a people. Isn't that amazing? He loves us, and that's a blessing. Amen? He has ever been drawing men to himself, and what I mean by drawing is kind of like you lasso a horse or something, and you draw them in, right? He's been drawing men to himself constantly, all through time, and praise the Lord for that. From the very beginning, man departed from his Creator, and like sheep, went everyone his own way. And last week we looked at Genesis chapter 3, and we saw how man decided to disobey the Lord, right? In the Garden of Eden. And since then, man has been born in sin. The Bible is an unfolding story of redemption. And what an awesome thing that is. As you read through the Bible, if you start in Genesis, you read all the way to the book of Revelation, you'll find that this story is unfolding. Isn't that amazing? And praise the Lord. The Bible says you get to the book of Galatians, and it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his own son. Isn't that amazing? And so when we were ready for it, God sent his son into the world. Isn't that amazing? The fullness of time. All right, so this is unfolding drama of redemption, if you will. in which God has sympathetically revealed the redemption of Jesus Christ to man from the moments of following Adam's fall from grace. God began immediately to reveal his son. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee," he's talking to Satan there, the serpent, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus ultimately has the victory, does he not? Praise the Lord for that. Now, when mankind was ready, God sent forth his own son. We read that, we just mentioned that verse a moment ago, Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. Now, down through history, God has dealt differently in different times with man concerning the story of redemption, all right? Like a loving parent deals with differently with his son during various stages of his youth. And if you've had children before, you understand. When a child is my son Daniel's age, mom and dad make all the decisions for him, every one of them. We have to. If you left it up to him, do you want to go to bed now? You know, first you wouldn't even know what you're talking about, but you know, but if you let's say a 3-year-old, you want to go to bed now? No, I don't want to go to bed. They'd never go to bed, you know, and they'd fall asleep in a heap on the living room floor and never get a good rest. Amen. Parents have to make decisions for children. It's got to happen. But as children get older, we begin to deal differently and begin to develop them. And God has done the same for mankind down through history. Isn't that amazing? And Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "God, who at sundry times, at many different times, in diverse manners, in many different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by his prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." And we can see from that verse alone that God has dealt in different times, in different ways with man, and now he speaks to us through his Son. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ. All right, so last week we started with, we're breaking down the Bible into 7 different dispensations, all right? The word dispensations is never found in your scripture, but it's a Bible principle, all right? So dispensation is just a different time that God dealt with man in a different way, all right? And we're breaking it down into 7 dispensations. There are some people that say there's 5 all the way up to 9. Some say 11. Some even go, well, never mind. But we're just doing 7, amen? My point is not to get in a doctrinal debate. My point is to let us see that there's different ways that God has dealt with man. That's simply what we're doing this morning. So the first one is that age of innocence, if you will. And that's the very beginning, Genesis 1 through Genesis 3. God's mandate to man, what God said to man, was you need to replenish the earth. Amen? So he made Adam, he made Eve, replenish the earth, subdue the earth, and to bring it into subjection, that means to control it, have dominion over the animal kingdom and the whole earth, care for the garden, abstain from eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did man do? Yeah, he broke it, didn't he? So what do we learn? What's the lesson we get from the first dispensation here? God has given man a free will. And that's never changed. You sit here this morning, you have a free will. You can choose God, you can reject God. It's up to you. If God made us like robots, there wouldn't really be love, would it? And then that would make his love toward us null. And would make any love that we give back to him null, would it not? And so God here has given us a free will to choose to receive or reject God's commandment. The first Adam, that's Adam in the Garden of Eden, the man, is in contrast to the second Adam, and we looked last week at 1 Corinthians 15. The second Adam is Jesus Christ, amen? Isn't that something? He became a man. So by man we became sinners, by man we have redemption. Isn't that amazing? So then we go to the second dispensation, and that's of conscience. And we saw last week how that in Genesis 2:25, the man and woman, Adam and Eve, were naked in the garden, and they were not ashamed. In other words, there's no shame, and sin brings shame. As soon as they sinned, the Bible says they saw that they were naked, and they tried to clothe themselves. Isn't that something? That shame came upon, and sin always brings shame, does it not? And when God came looking for them in the garden, They couldn't. They didn't want to go. They hid themselves because they were ashamed, and they tried to cover their shame with fig leaves sewn together. And God looked at that and he said, "That doesn't cut it. The only thing that's going to work is have coats of skins." Now we learn if you skin an animal, to take the skin off of it and make a clothing out of it, that animal has to do what? It has to die, does it not? And so what do we learn from this dispensation? This dispensation demonstrates what mankind will do if left to his own will and conscience. If man is just left to himself, he will always default to sin. Does that make sense? Now, we see that over and over again. I have 5 children. I have never taught one of my children how to lie. They just know. That's like ingrained in them, isn't it? We understand that. I got my youngest son now. He'll grab his toys. He's got this little bar that goes across and it's got elephant hanging off of it and all that stuff. And he grabs those things and I don't know what he wants. I really don't. I can't figure it out. But he gets all red in the face and he's screaming at the elephant. I'm like, just cool it, pal. I foresee a lot of pain in your future. You know what I mean? And I look at this, I'm thinking, oh my, we got it cut out for us. You know, Jennifer and I, we got some curbing to do here. But old Dano, he didn't have to teach him that. He just knows. And so, praise the Lord, we understand from this dispensation. We also understand from this dispensation that there's a payment that has to be made for sin, and that's the shedding of blood. Amen? All right, so then we go on to human government, and we get to Genesis chapter 6, and we find about the flood. Amen? The Bible says God came down, he looked upon the earth, and the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. I mean, that's just, what an amazing thought. The only person in the whole world that found grace in God's eyes was Noah and his family. Isn't that amazing? But God saved him. Amen. Could have wiped everybody out, but he didn't. He saved man. Isn't that amazing? And God always has a people. Now, God's mandate with this, so Noah, his wife, his sons, his 3 sons, and their wives got on the ark. The 8 people were saved in that day. And when they got off of the ark, we read that in chapter 9 of Genesis, how that God made a covenant with man. Pretty interesting. So the mandate here, God will not flood the whole earth again. Aren't you glad God won't do that? There's localized floods, obviously, but God said he wouldn't flood the whole earth again. Praise the Lord. God always keeps his promises. Noah and his family were to replenish the earth. So now you have narrowed back down to 8 people again. Let's replenish the earth. Amen? It's got to happen. They shall have dominion over the animal creation. And I like this one. They're allowed to eat meat. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. The law of the capital punishment was established in Genesis chapter 9. Remember that? So if you shed blood, by man your blood will be shed. And so we see the capital punishment there. I'm not going to go any farther with that. You can think what you want there.